ようこみわショーへようこそ。
I'm Jason Crane, and I'm here, as always, with Yoko Miwa. Hi, Yoko.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. We have been, all this month on the website, on our blog, we've been talking about influences, people whose performances of particular songs have inspired you. Mm-hmm. And actually, I thought one place we could start, and maybe you could talk about how you do this with your own students, is that I think it's pretty common for beginning jazz students to be given recordings to listen to and to transcribe and to emulate. And then at some point someone tells you, okay, well, that's great, but now you have to figure out your own sound.
Right.
And so I thought maybe we could talk just a little bit about either how, you know, both how you did that and also how you kind of give advice to your students to do that. You know, when you've listened to the recordings that we've featured on the website this month, for example, how did you take that? And then rather than just mimicking it, incorporated into your own style.
Right. I know a lot of people, they just transcribe, you know, you listen and then you try to write down every note. That's good start. And some people cannot write down either if you don't have ability to do it, right? So you can memorize it. That's great too. I mean, if you can memorize a whole solo, that'd be great. That's how I started to learn how to improvise, right? But if you memorize and then playing the same solo, example, Keith Jarrett, Bye Bye Blackbird, which I really like, his solo from beginning to the end, over and over and over, but then what, right? So that's what you're exactly talking about. To me, if you memorized whole thing, kind of you forget or, you know, what you memorized, and then, you know, kind of you don't play it for a while and forget about his solo and then come back, you know, maybe a couple of weeks later or something, and then play that solo without, you know, trying to play his solo. Just kind of I remember, but I don't remember.
Sure.
Thing. And it'd be like 50-50 or maybe 30% of Keith Jarrett, 70% of years, or 10% of Keith Jarrett, you know, the rest of your solo, whatever. That would be great. That's a good start too. That's the one way you can do, you know, kind of forget, but whatever you can fill the rest of the solo. You don't remember. Maybe probably you don't remember much. So you have to play your own solo. But kind of you remember how he plays his solo, try to create his sound, or, you know, how he phrases solo stuff. And then another thing, to me, if you write down, it might be easier to do a lot of work. So if you write down all his solo, example, just one chorus, that would be putting plenty ideas in there. So, of course, you want to know which chord, you know, you should write down chord progressions and solos. And then later you can just look what he's playing. This is F7 and he's playing this note. Why? You know, so you kind of analyze why does it sound, you know, good, or how can I play like him? So you have to analyze with chords, and, you know, you kind of have to, you know, code the scales and stuff. But that's what I did, like analyze a lot of his, you know, phrases and chords on the left hand or right hand voicing together. And once you understand what he's doing, maybe not 100%, but some of them, and then you take some of the phrases you really like, what is Kiss's plan or whoever plan. So just very small phrase. Understand, so he's playing this note because this chord, because this this chord scale, and in practice the short phrase is better, like a one measure, even two beat, you know. Practice in 12 keys, trying to da 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 da, you know, like move to the next key, da 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 da, you know. So you do 12 keys and different chords, transpose. Then you definitely understand what he's doing, and you can use it when you, you know, you improvise your own, you know. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, okay. So then try, once you got the do-do-do-do-do, whatever the phrase, try to play the phrase over and over everywhere. With C7 chord, with F7 chord, G7 chord. So you have to transpose the phrase. So, and then use as much as possible. Like I will do like one phrase over and over and everywhere in a song, like 10 minutes, you know, straight over and over. And then play something between, you know, improvise if you can't use that phrase. But if you do that, exercise, but you kind of have fun with it, and then you do with many other phrases. You can take a you know, whatever you like it, or a long little longer phrase. So if you keep doing that, and eventually you have a lot of phrases from Keith Jarrett, and when you solo, maybe, you know, if you practice that way over and over and over, like for a couple of weeks or whatever, you know, for months or maybe a couple of days, depends on, you know, who you are. But next time, okay, now I can maybe try to play like Keith Jarrett, but, you know, you're not thinking about the phrases you are practicing. Just comes out from your body when you're playing it. That's the goal, you know. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say.
Now that's an answer to the I think kind of to the technical aspect of how you would take someone's phrasing or note selections or chordal choices, voicings, right, and apply them to your playing.
Right.
And then there's the other side, which is like with the Oscar. I think maybe the clearest example of this is the Oscar Peterson performance of Night Train that you chose. That's up on our website. And that, sure, there's note choices and that kind of thing there, but I think a big part of what's happening there too is just the feel, just the, you know, the way he approaches playing pieces like that. I mean, of course, there's the technical aspect, but some piece of it is just like, well, there's that Oscar Peterson feeling to it. And right. Could you talk a little bit about that? How do you get to the core of what that is? How do you figure out what that thing is that you like and how to do it?
So example, the Oscar Peterson, right? Oscar Peterson, I learned from his playing is more like a bluesy style, also the loose feel, swing feel, right? So I guess something like this, it's impossible to write down what he's playing. So I think you have to just listen, and then try to you know, imitate what he's doing, but not the technically, like you said. It's more of the feel. So, yeah, it's very hard, but listening is everything to me. So, yeah, does it cover?
Yeah, I mean, and I think we're kind of getting at one of the most difficult parts of learning this music, which is that you can learn all the technical stuff you want. You can figure out how to play all the notes and get all the licks down and all of that kind of thing. But there's underneath that, there has to be something else, or what you end up with is just repetition, or, you know, it's just the recreation of what's already gone before. There has to be that other thing that you've absorbed, and then that becomes you, the way you express yourself. To me, that seems, you know, I guess that's kind of the holy grail, right, that everybody's going for, is that that moment when you transcend the technical and you figure out how to just be you on your
Right. So you start from learning somebody else's, you know, the sound and then, technique stuff. But eventually it has to come out as your sound, right? I kind of, you know, I struggled that because I didn't want people to think like, oh, she just sounds like Oscar Peterson. Oh, she just sounds like the Levels. I mean, that's great. But it's still, I want it to be me.
Sure.
I want it to be my, you know, that's Yoko's song. But actually somebody, some people told me, no, that's your sound. You have your own sound. I can hear Bill Evans' influence. I can hear Oscar Peterson's influence on your playing, but sounds like that's you, you know. So I'm still trying to find my own sound. I'm still working on it. But it's tough.
And, you know, now as an educator yourself, I have to imagine there are some Berkeley kids who have some of Yoko Miwa's sound in their playing now.
Yes, very much.
So you yourself have become an influencer now.
Yeah, because, you know, it might happen. But because during the lesson, I often record, my plan for them, like, you know, because they don't know how to improvise or how to work on this idea, that idea. And then, okay, let me record it for you. Why don't you copy what I'm doing this week? So a lot of students come back and transcribing and then playing my solo. It's kind of weird. Like, wow, is that my solo? That's what I played last week. Okay. So it's funny. Yeah. Somebody's transcribing my solo, which is, you know, kind of funny to see it.
And it seems like one of the jobs that the elders in the jazz world, or the teachers, the example setters in the jazz world have to do is kind of push the next generation past just that repetition. Like maybe I'm screwing up who the person was, but I think it was Jackie McLean, who Miles Davis said to Jackie, okay, that's great that you can play like Charlie Parker, but you know, now I need you to play like you.
Right.
And, you know, I think forgive me if I've gotten that story wrong, but the principle is there, which is that, okay, great, now you've figured out this thing, and now it's the job of the people who, you know, already have some of it figured out to kind of take the next generation and show them that it's not enough. It's not enough just to copy. At some point, you have to push past that.
Right. I know. That's why I really respect it, you know, like many years ago, like Bill Evans in case. Oscar, you know, everybody have their own sound, you know, and to me, they're just genius. And I don't know how to, because I feel like so many people already created their own sound and we're just trying to copy it. And then, you know, but we have to develop from there and then we have to make our own sound. Yeah. So, it's difficult to me. It's a big theme, definitely one of, I've been working on it.
Yeah, and it feels like one of the most exciting parts of this music. It feels like a mountain you could never quite reach the top of. You know, you can get really high up there, but I mean, I think it was Dizzy Gillespie who said, you know, that jazz is a music you could never master. And I mean that, you know, and we think of him as a towering genius of the music, and a guy who himself always thought, well, there's always more I can do.
Right.
And I think that's one of the beautiful things about this music. I mean, I remember talking to Sonny Rollins at one point and me saying, you know, why do you still practice so much? And he said, well, I think I'm finally getting the hang of it. You know, he's, you know, however old he is, and he's been doing it for, you know, 60 years or whatever. And that there's just that drive to always keep pushing and moving beyond, which I think is a really exciting part of this music.
Right, because we can't reach our goal. If you think you reached it, you're done.
Right.
We can't.
Yeah.
That's why we practice. Yeah. So that's fun part.
As we as we always do, and it seems like given that we've been talking about how to create your own sound, this is a perfect thing to end this episode with. We always end with one of your performances. What shall we hear this time?
Okay, let's play This Could Be the Start of Something by Steve Allen. This is from the album Live at the Scholars Jazz Club. But this song, I was thinking how Billy Evans will play this song. And I found out he played this song also. So perfect example, kind of thinking about Billy Evans.